Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with franchise author, franchise speaker, and serial franchisepreneur, Lonnie Helgerson. And Lonnie has over 27 years' experience in the franchising industry, working with companies such as Super Ray Motels, Identikit, and many more. And that's coming right up on Franchise Interviews. So stick around, because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with franchise author, franchise speaker, and serial franchisepreneur, Lonnie Helgerson. And Lonnie has over 27 years' experience in the franchise industry, working with companies such as Super 8 Motels, Identikit, and many more. Hey, Lonnie, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Marty. I'm having an awesome day.
Oh, that's fantastic, Lonnie. It's great to finally have you on the show. I've been following your career for quite a long time now. So Don was a little jealous he couldn't be here today. I was telling him a story before the show, Lonnie. I promised my wife over the Memorial Day weekend that I wasn't going to do any work or read any journal articles for my doctorate degree. And I got your book, Five Pennies. I think I got it on Friday. And I got to tell you, I couldn't put it down. It was a fantastic book. I think you really did a great job at filling a gap in a literature review. You know, there's nothing out there that's like it. I was telling Don about the title. I said, Five Pennies. He goes, what's Five Pennies? So you probably get that. It's a great story. I thought you could probably tell it a little better than I could.
Yeah, I do get that question quite often, and where the title came from. And
yeah.
And as you know already, having read it, there's an interesting story behind that. I serve on the board of advisors at the Institute of Franchise Executives at Nova Southeastern University,
mm-hmm.
with Carolyn Bolton, and she's director of special projects for Subway Restaurants. And Carolyn and I go back quite a ways, and you know, we know each other very well, and Our kids are very close in age, so we always drift off into a conversation about our children. A few years back her and I were talking about our kids, and I was telling her how I was trying to teach Chandler, my son, a number of years before this conversation, actually. He was probably about 5 or 6 at the time, and he's now 11, so it's been a while back. And he was, he always hits me up for money, right? You know, he wants some money for this or that, right?
Right.
And I said, okay, here's the deal, son. I said, you clean my office and I'll pay you to do that. And he said, okay. So he came in, he lugged in the vacuum cleaner and he vacuumed in a little bit and got more garbage on the floor than he took out and this, that, and the other thing. And he came over and he said, okay, he wanted $2. I said, well, where's your invoice?
Right.
And he's like, he gives me that blank stare like, invoice, and he could hardly, you know, say the word at the time. And I said, here's how you make money. I said, this
right.
is, I'm going to teach you a business lesson today. So I taught him how to make it, create an invoice, and wrote down $2. And I said, now you give me the invoice. And I gave him his $2, and I marked paid in full. I said, you keep that. And that's how you make money as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And she chuckled, and she said, you know, her son was going through the same kind of gyrations. And at the time, she was working for Franchise Brands, which is a side business that's owned by the founders of Subway,
mm-hmm.
That looks for concepts to purchase. And at any rate, he was always hitting her up to buy this chain or that chain. He'd stop and have a bagel, and he'd say, you know, Mom, you guys need to buy this franchise chain because it's such good food. And she's getting to a point where she finally decided to tell him how they evaluate a franchise when they purchase it, and it's a good
right.
story. And I think, you know, she says, for every dollar that comes into that bagel shop, so that would be 100 pennies, right? Yes.
Right.
Okay, so many pennies go to pay for your labor and your staff. So many pennies go to rent. So many pennies go to insurance, and she went through all of them. So many pennies go to buy food for resale. So at the bottom, there's got to be a good, strong amount of pennies for the owner to keep at the end of the day. That's called net profit.
Right.
And on top of that, there needs to be 5 pennies that typically, which is the royalty that goes for the franchisor. And she says, we zero in on that profitability, those pennies that go to the franchisee for profitability when we're going to purchase a chain. And I says, you know, I said, that's it's interesting thought, Carolyn, because I don't think enough chains are focusing
mm-hmm.
on those 5 pennies or those profits these days. And this is pre-recession, right? So
right.
we're on high-flying times, and everybody's growing to beat the band. And whenever you run into people through IFA, International Franchise Association
mm-hmm.
conferences, et cetera, you know, it's always, how are you doing? Oh, we opened up X amount of stores, or we sold this many locations,
right.
and it's still that way. And it's not very often I hear somebody say, well, our same-store sales grew by 10%,
mm-hmm.
and there's a big difference there. So
right.
that's where the term 5 pennies came from, because it's, you know, average royalty franchisors.
It's interesting. One of the stories that really hit home, Lonnie, was you were standing, I guess you were at the International Franchise Association. I think you were at the one in Las Vegas. And you hear a lot of great conversations, don't you, as you're standing in line? But
that's
I think you're listening to
yeah.
you're listening to a couple other franchisors, and they were talking about, I guess if they sold, I don't know, I guess it was like, it might have been like $20,000 franchise fee, and if they sold 10 of them, I guess they would have got $200,000. And it seemed like that was the focus for that particular franchise, wasn't it? You know, it wasn't about profitability or anything like that. And you wonder, you know, if those guys are actually still in business today. You can kind of hypothesize that whoever they were, they're probably not, are they?
No, I don't know if they are or not, and I but it was crazy because they sounded like two cat burglars. It was crazy, and I mean, it was really kind of irritating and annoying because I'm listening to this, and they're talking about this, and, you know, if you've been around in franchise in a while, you may have heard those kinds of conversations from time to time, and I wanted to turn around and say, guys, I said, is there anything more to this business than franchise fees? And, oh, by the way, you know, what are your costs of supporting a franchisee and so on and so on and so on?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got helped, and they were gone. I never did see them again. But you're absolutely right. I wonder if they still are, you know, if they learned from that convention the importance of what they're doing. And,
yeah, I don't think those guys knew who they were. Well, it's funny because as I was reading a lot, I said, I don't think those guys knew who they were standing next to. That you had all this experience in franchising, you know. There was the great quote. I thought it was fantastic how you put it right on the cover of the book from Fred DeLuca, who is someone, mm-hmm. you know, I truly admire. Franchise profitability is the most important mission of mm-hmm. the franchisor. And I think, you know, that's it's really, you know, hits home, doesn't it? I mean, it's so powerful. We have a great quotes in franchising, and I think we're going to somehow incorporate that in there to our great quotes because I think it is it's very powerful. How about a general overview of the book? I mean, why was it written, Lonnie? I mean, was it because there was a gap? I mean, there's so many books out there on franchising. You know, I was kind of wondering what was going to come out next, and I think it was one of the reasons I couldn't put it down was because I think you really did a great job at filling that gap that wasn't what was said, you know, in all the other books.
Well, I've been having a lot of people tell me I should write a book for a long time
mm-hmm.
and over the years, and I got thinking about it, and I really never felt, you know, that who wants to read about my, you know, escapades and so forth. And I had consulted and worked with a number of companies in recent years and prior, right up to the recession and during the recession. And there's some interesting dynamics of change in franchising. Most companies really had to, if they didn't, they should have, focused on their unit economics because at the mm-hmm. end of the day, that's what got them through the recession. And it forced many of them to really look at their support, their balance sheets, and how they make money. And I had seen a number of companies that had done things that I felt weren't probably on the up and up. They had done them wrong, and they really were taking advantage of franchising in a way. And I felt compelled to write a book that, as you mentioned, there's a lot of books on starting a franchise, but nobody's ever said, here's how you grow one, here's how you manage it, and these are the tools and all the things that you need to do this. And I just sat down, and the first story I put down was Carolyn's story, and,
mm-hmm.
and I just went from there. And I had these 10 rules that are 10 solid areas of any brand that kind of formulate the basis for a franchise system. And you can see more about that in what I call a model of success, franchise mega brand, where in five pennies, mega means great. Rather than just big. And, you know, you build from franchisee profitability, and you layer all of these different types of supports and different rules and things on top of it that add all of this value add and best practices and all of these things to a franchisee, which should increase their operational efficiencies, profitability and sales, et cetera, which come back in the form of royalties, which feed the entire ecosystem. And that's the basis for the book, and from there we just started filling in the voids.
Yeah, I love how you use the word mega, too. I'm glad that you brought that up, because particularly when you used it with the word relationship, Alani, you know, describing franchising as a mega relationship. I thought that was very powerful because I think that really is a great lesson there. I was mentioning to you, you know, I do a lot of research on franchising because I'm in the dissertation mode right now, and I see a lot of different definitions on franchising. I probably have about 50 I could recite back to you, but not a lot of them emphasize the word relationship, particularly mega relationships. So I thought that was very powerful. I think you did a very good job at hitting home by the end of the book, as far as, you know, that's what franchising is, isn't it? It's a mega relationship.
Yep. Thank you for the compliment, and it's absolutely true. And that's probably one of the most overlooked pieces of the business model,
mm-hmm.
is the relationship side of it. And where most companies get into trouble, or I wouldn't say most, but some companies get in trouble, is they don't understand that side of the business, or why franchisees act and the way they do and respond
right.
the way they do. And it's really about coaching a relationship. And I explained it in the book. It's like it's like governing your marriage through a contract, because that's what we do. We have this personal relationship with our owners that we try to maintain positively, but yet there's this agreement wrapped around it that says, you know, if you're late on your royalties, there's a $35 fee, or there,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's this, there's that, and all of these rules that we have in place. And you know, if you think about a marriage, I mean, if much like I put in the book, could you imagine a mandatory 5-year remodel clause for your house? You know, that, you know, or a $35 TV interruption fee and so forth. And it's exactly the same. And so how do you balance that? How do you manage that relationship and not govern too hard on the system and be, you know, designated as a bully or not caring? Or if you get too lax and you don't have strong compliance programs in place, then, you know, the system runs amok and you run into trouble and you may or may not recover from it. So it's a very delicate balance.
Absolutely. You have some great examples, you know, that we've even referenced on the show too, Lonnie. You were mentioning in the book about the program that's done by Service Brand International.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a fantastic program. You know, you wonder sometimes why more franchise companies aren't, you know, doing programs like that, you know. Did you have any thoughts on that, or?
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend more companies do that. I think, again, you know, the recession has forged, in some cases, companies to think entirely out of the box, which is where
right.
we should be thinking anyway. And if you really have a strong unit economics and you put the right owners in place and all these things, that it only makes sense to financially participate with that franchisee to make them successful, because the long-term goal is the royalty stream, and
mm-hmm.
and that's where franchisor makes their money at the end of the day. The fees should cover their investment into that owner to get them up open until their royalties start reaching royalty break even and covering their monthly support costs, and then they start making money on the royalty from there. But I'm amazed that there aren't more brands that
right.
do that, and that's a testament to Service Brands International on how confident they are in their business models, not business model. And this is one brand, by the way. This is 3 or 4 brands.
Right, right.
And they have that confidence level in all of them, and it's amazing what they've done. And for that, they're a best of class brand and a mega brand.
Yeah, I like, you know, when you wrote the book, I mean, there's a lot of things I enjoyed about the book. One of the things most was the teasers that you put in the beginning of the book. I said, if I ever wrote a book, I would use a similar style. You know, you talk about a scenario, and then you say, I'm going to tell you what happened at the end of the chapter. I think that's one of the reasons why I probably couldn't put the book down is I said, okay, what's going to happen? You know, it was amazing how you were able to do that with franchising, you know. But I thought that was fantastic. Who do you think should be reading this book then, Lonnie? I mean, who's the book would you say targeted towards?
You know, this book is targeted towards obvious anyone in franchising. It's just
that's what I was thinking. Yeah,
book.
Right,
but
right.
One of the ways that this book would be used in an incredible way is alignment and training of staff. There's
yeah.
so many people you talk to that are at administrative level or that are supporting franchisees that really don't understand what in the world this whole machine is about. And if my recommendation, and I'm putting some training programs together around this, is to have everyone on your staff, if nothing else, use this as an orientation 101
mm-hmm.
book for people that are new to franchising so that they can understand what these this language we speak and so forth, but really what is this company trying to accomplish and what's the position of the franchisee? How do I fit in? What's my role within that? And that's a great place. Academia, certainly another place for students that are wanting to study franchising and get into it, entrepreneur classes and that type, as well as any company that's thinking about franchising or really wants to if you read the book like you have, you there's many principles in there that can be actually applied to any small business.
Oh, absolutely. I would totally agree with you. Yeah, and I, you know, as I was reading it too, Lonnie, I was thinking, as you were mentioning, it's kind of like creating a culture within the franchise, isn't it? I mean, that's one of the things that I got out of it is, I guess, you know, not always so easy to do. You know, of course, it comes down to, you know, strong leadership and things like that. But I think that was certainly one of the lessons there was creating that culture, you know, after reading a book like this. Of having that mindset, which is really so important for long-term success. And again, I mean, the examples that you reference in the book, you know, whether it's your Subways or, you know, your 7-Elevens, and, you know, these are companies that, you know, you've dealt with and worked with, and you know all these guys, you know, so, you know, firsthand. You've been in franchising such a long time. One of the questions I've been dying to ask is, you know, what changes have you seen in franchising, Lonnie, since you got involved? You know, so 27, 28 years ago to, you know, kind of like where we're at today, positive or negative?
Yeah,
that's a deep question.
Yeah, it is a deep question. We could schedule another radio show around that question. It's, you know, to start with, I think I would use the word sophistication of franchisors is really the biggest change I've seen, and it's a reflection of the sophistication of the franchisee as well. And a lot of that has been born through availability of content and information and, you know, the internet and all of that type of thing. It's driven this. But I would say fundamentally those brands that recognize that they're in business with their franchise owners versus just franchising a concept to an owner,
right,
are the ones that's been the biggest change that I've seen. And that was probably a lesson some of them learned unwillingly and through, you know, economic turmoil. But the sophistication of the business model, the, you know, obviously the legal side of this and the compliance side of this with the state laws and regulations and all of that we really don't need any further have created a complicated business model and a sophisticated and a complicated business model, and that has fundamentally been the biggest change. And that's a lot of changes. Like I said, we could do a whole radio show about this, but you know, overall, Five Pennies is probably the aggregate of those changes.
Yeah.
Book like this written 25 years ago when I was at Super 8 Motels, we wouldn't even gotten it. What does it mean? And I think that's the sum of the moving parts as a snapshot today.
That's interesting. We recently had a Memorial Day show, Lonnie, and, you know, of course we spoke about, you know, veterans and franchising and, you know, veteran entrepreneurs, and, you know, you're the two-time chairman of the, you know, VetFran committee. Did you want to talk a little bit about that? I mean, as far as how you feel about veterans getting into franchising or what's been your experience with that?
Oh, of course. Well, my experience with that is, first of all, I am a veteran and I have direct experience with it. A quick story goes back to my days at Super 8. I was in the U.S. Army. I went back to from active duty to the South Dakota National Guard to work on my commission as an officer. And I had, fortunately, a buddy of mine that was in ROTC with me was working for Super 8 in the aviation department and asked me if I was looking to make some extra money. I said, absolutely. My goal at the time in my life was to get my commission, go back active duty, and retire as a colonel, or hopefully even the luck of grace of Patton, that maybe a general.
Right.
That was my life, and I was very good at it. And I went to work for Super 8. I grew up through the ranks and got to know people. And one day we came back from some trip, and Ron Rivett, one of the founders of the chain, was walking away from me, and it pushed the Learjet into the hangar. And I yelled at Ron. I had a camera in my hand, and for some reason, took a picture of him as he turned around. And it was that moment in my life that I realized this was a guy that built a successful insurance practice and was a recovering banker, but now owned the largest economy chain in the world, lodging chain, at the time. And I thought, wow. And it was an instant epiphany where I said, I'm going to build a franchise brand. It wasn't start a business. It was build a franchise brand.
Right.
I had that picture hanging in my wall. And that was the day I decided to chase down that fork in the road. And I never did go back active duty in the military. I got out after 8 years, and I stayed in franchising ever since. I left Super 8 a few years later, started my own brand called Computer Doctor, and
right.
been at it ever since. But veterans overall, has been a phenomenal success with VetFran. Absolutely phenomenal. The success continues to escalate even as we speak here, and it's because they are such a good fit for franchising. And franchising's a great fit for them. They come out of a place that they know what they're going to do when they get up. They know what they're going to wear. They know what the day comprises of. Franchising provides them, albeit maybe not quite that detail, but darn near, that type of life. And so they easily gravitate into that. And they're good followers and good leaders, which make them great team builders. And, you know, they really thrive in franchising and its success of that. So, you know, I've been fortunate to get involved with that program and have been a part of getting it to where it's at. And you know, I encourage companies, if they're listening to this call, that if they're not involved with VetFran or a member of the IFA, they need to be. And they need to get involved with it.
Yeah, they're missing the boat. I totally agree with you. When we had Sean Folk, there's a veteran, he recently got into franchise. I think he's up to he owns 10 franchises now, Lonnie. But it's a great story. But he defined the military as a system, you know, and of course franchising being as a system. So, you know, I mean, after, you know, listening to him as well, you know, it sounds like a great match, you know, and you wonder why, you know, not all franchise, well, I guess they all can't be involved in it, but, you know, not even more are involved in VetFran. You mentioned another one in the book that I thought was interesting as well. Was it I think it's PAFI. I can't remember if that's the acronym for it, but I thought that was interesting as well. Was it Professional Athletes Franchise Initiative, I think it was.
That's correct.
We've had them on the show, too, and I thought, you know, I never thought about that either. You know, as I said, okay, you know, when these gentlemen came on the show, I think one of the guys was Tyoka Jackson, you know, talking about how, you know, when you play sports, you know, you have to follow rules, don't you? You know, that's kind of like franchising as well, isn't it, you know?
It is. One of the most interesting aspects of the professional athletes world is, you know, I've learned a great deal about this. They're very much like veterans or team builders or team players, right? And they work well within a system. But the interesting dynamic with these guys are that they are typically financially secure. And so
True. There's
really no need to talk about that. They're more focused on operations. They want to know how can they be supported and trained to become a business owner. That's where they want to focus on. So that was something I learned here last year at a breakout session at the IFA, and I was really well-received. It was a full room, and I love the program. Island Time Treasures is our franchise brand, and we are certainly working with the PAFI and hope to help grow that program as well.
Yeah, that was an interesting franchise too, Island Time Treasures. You know, we were looking that up on the internet several days ago, and I thought that's an interesting concept, and I think it's a great industry, of course, to be in. Did you want to talk a little bit about that concept?
Sure, I'd love to, of course. It's a very unique franchise. There's two models for it. It's a home-based or a retail cart slash kiosk, and we're doing both. The mobile unit, what we provide are it's hard to explain, and hopefully people can visualize this, but we create much like the Build-A-Bear workshop, where a customer can pick out a design of a project, and we make a form in a sandbox, which we have these big sandboxes we take around, and then the customer, the guest actually, decorates it with seashells or sea glass or buttons, and we've got all kinds of different types of things that we use. And then we have a proprietary plaster, which we call island mud, that we pour into that form, and it gets hard, and it sets up in about 6 to 8 minutes. It's extremely fast. And then we remove that from the sand, which causes the sand to stick to the outside of it. We clean that off, and we put some glitter on there, and we put a clear coat on it, and it's ready to go to the customer. And the response to the program has just been overwhelming. We're actually putting retail carts, or what we call specialty retail, into resorts, high-end resorts down here in Florida. We're looking to expand into Disney World and Busch Gardens and cruise ships and all those types of things. And the mobile version of that is exactly that. They're able to go to events and festivals and fairs and so forth and provide this program and work it part-time. The retail carts are full-time, but the mobile unit is part-time, typically weekends. It's great for, you know, stay-at-home moms or family wants to make extra money or student going through school. It's low cost, low investment, and it's geared towards, isn't it geared just towards children? You know, adults of all ages do it, but predominantly the kids are where it's at. So.
It sounds like a great concept, and it keeps you still. This is a little different too, I guess, from some of the other concepts, of course, that you've worked with over the last, you know, 27, 28 years is what I was thinking about as I was reviewing it, you know. But it sounds to me like, I mean, you're always going to be, I think, involved in franchising, Lonnie, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think that's a given. I think, I don't see myself slowing down. I'm a relatively young guy yet, so I could probably, you know, I've got a lot of unfilled buckets in my bucket list yet, so we've got a ways to go.
There you go. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on getting the book and all the different services that the Helgerson Franchise Group provides, Lonnie? Is there any websites they should go to or any numbers they can call?
Of course. To get the book, go to franchisemegabrand.com.
Okay, franchisemegabrand.com. Okay,
yep,
fantastic.
It'll take you right to the book site, which is part of the Helgerson Franchise Group. So that web address will get them to everything we do, and as well as they can order the book. And the book's going to be coming out. The book is already on Amazon and paperback.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, but the EPUB, Nook, iTunes, and Kindle are coming out in the next few weeks.
That's fantastic. And again, it's a privilege to finally have the chance to get to speak to you. I mentioned to you, you know, I've been following you a long time, and I feel like I know you, you know. So one of these days, you know, we're going to get to catch up again at one of the franchise shows, you know. And we're going to be talking about this book for a while, too, Lonnie. So keep listening in.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Marty. And it was great being on the show.
Thank you so much, Lonnie. It was a privilege to talk to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi everyone, this is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, Reach podcast you get to hear, a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 6 years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today you're going to get to hear from Lauren Stock Cohen, who is a veteran of the franchise industry, first franchised Great American Cookies 33 years ago. He became the first ever franchisee inducted into the International Franchise Association Hall of Fame, and you're going to get to hear from him right now.
Yeah, I like it. Let's do it.
What was it that made you decide to go into franchising, Doc? I mean, again, you had, you know, a couple different choices, I guess, at that time of your life. What was it about, you know, becoming a franchisee?
Well, I had been part of other startups, and I knew just how difficult it was to begin a concept. So let's just say I had wanted to be Doc's Cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I could have done that. I could have said, all right, right, well, now I've got to develop a recipe. I've got to do my marketing program. I've got to get the financing. I've got to do an operations manual. I got to figure out how to do it. I got to figure out where the locations ought to be. And your franchising, a lot of that's done for you already. A franchise provides a concept that's been proven and tested. Somebody else has done all that work. The systems are typically in place and have been revised over time to prove that they can be successful, and it was just a great way to go.
Question I've been dying to ask you is, what's changed in franchising? I mean, you've been involved in it for such a long time now. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen, Doc, over that time?
Well, there have been a number of them. I think probably the most significant is the level of sophistication of the franchisee today, as opposed to when I went into it. And you know, I don't think I'm the most unsophisticated person in the world, looking back. But I really went into this without doing sufficient homework. And so, as I said, a lot of this was luck back then. Today, franchisees are much more likely to have very strong legal advice, very strong financial advice, are familiar with things like business plans. I didn't know what a business plan was when I went into business. I had no idea what a business plan was. And today's franchisees are much more knowledgeable about those things. And today, franchisees are more likely to be multi-unit and multi-brand. That's something that has changed significantly over the years, is that today you find franchisees like myself, in fact, that operate multiple brands and sometimes across different companies. So, you know, we have two brands in our from my own franchisor, and then I operate actually three other concepts.
Wow, that's interesting. Are you surprised about the number of franchise systems and the number of industries that are now franchising, Doc? I mean, when you first got into this, you know, going back 33 years ago, I mean, there weren't as many systems, there weren't as many industries. I guess it might have been maybe a little easier to get into franchising because it seems like there's so many choices and so many industries today. Are you surprised at the number of systems and industries?
No, not at all. I mean, it's funny because 33 years ago, I was thinking, oh my gosh, how do I get to be a franchisee? You must really have to know somebody to get one of these franchises. And what I think's happened over the years is that as franchising has grown, people have recognized that it's such a great way to grow a business. So you have an entrepreneur who has this great idea, and the entrepreneur develops the idea and sees it bloom, and he or she gets going with it, and it's really fantastic. And then somebody else sees it and says, "Gee, you know, that's a great idea. I'd like to do it." And you know, as an entrepreneur, you may be sitting there with limited capital, and you say, "Well, yeah, I can teach you how to do this," and you really get excited about the prospect of teaching someone else how to do the business that you've developed and grown. And I think that's what's exciting about franchising. And that's why I think, for one reason anyway, why franchising has grown. It's a great way for an entrepreneur to get more rapid growth of a concept that that he or she has developed.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.